Brother Freeman, brethren moderators, brothers and sisters in Christ, thankful for this opportunity to close in affirmative a proposition. Scriptures teach that two people joined by God in marriage are bound for life, the only exception being that an innocent partner may put away or made guilty of fornication and remarry. I have sustained that proposition by a detailed study of Matthew 5 and then Matthew 19. We've studied Romans 7. We've studied in detail 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Now I want to notice his chart number 1. If we can, please. On this matter of that we are forbidding marriage, 1 Timothy 4, you recall that chart. And we're going to notice 3:14 and 3:15. All right, thank you. You remember his argument here from 1 Timothy 4, Doctrine of Devils, because we are forbidding to marry. Now notice chart 3:14. Would my opponent forbid food to the lazy? Now he dodged that the other night. He said, I wouldn't forbid food. I'd just tell him to go to work. That's a dodge. The text here said, if any will not work, neither let him eat. It's talking about, will you give him food? You must forbid him your food so he will work. The truth is, you didn't want to face up to that yes, you would forbid the food of your table to go to the lazy man. Yes, sir, you would. And so I guess you're teaching the doctrine of devils, Brother Freeman. Is that the case tonight? And then would you, in the matter of Herod and Herodias, put that back again. Would you forbid Herod to Herodias? He's talked around that, and I can't figure out yet if he would forbid Herod to Herodias and Herodias to Herod. Tell us clear and plain terms whether you would or not. Now, this matter of forbidding to marry, he would forbid the homosexual, he said. And then he talked about 1 Corinthians 7:11 and said they could not have that second mate. Finally, at long last, after all these speeches, he says, in that second marriage, they couldn't have that second mate. Go back to the first one. So, I suppose you're forbidding that marriage. And so this is why I said it is sophistry. Now, Herod had someone else's wife, so we forbid that marriage. The Word of God does. And then 3:15, he's trying to identify me as apostate from this passage. No, we forbid unlawful marriage as he forbids unlawful eating. 1 Corinthians 10:21, eating the table of devils. You forbid it, don't you? And was John apostate there in Mark 6 with Herod and Herodias? Apostates defend unlawful marriages as right. That's the departure from the faith. And we pointed out the Catholic Catechism teaches what you do on 1 Corinthians 7:15. And then he dodged that by saying, well, they never were Christians, so that couldn't be the departure. But Brother Freeman, Christians like yourself or myself could embrace this doctrine and that would be the departure. And that's what you've done. And in doing it, you've identified yourself with a false position there. Now, here's chart 28 on mercy. That if you're forgiven, there are no consequences, he tells us. No consequences. God remitted the homosexual's sin. What about mercy in that case? Could they stay married and this is mercy? Mercy leads us out of sinful, adulterous marriage. What about Mark 6, 17 and 18 again here? What about the mercy? The mercy is the call to repentance and to put away the unlawful mate of the adulterous relationship. There's the mercy. But Brother Freeman would have us believe the mercy is such that we could not call men out of those unscriptural, unlawful relationships. Now look at 286. And let's be reminded, as I've pointed out, forgiveness does not remove temporal consequences. The converted murderer does not escape the death penalty. Paul said in Acts 25:11, he'd be willing to die if he was guilty of something worthy of death. The convicted thief does not escape his due reward. Luke 23, you remember the thief that said, we're receiving our due reward. But the Lord forgave him of sin. The converted prodigal does not regain the money wasted gambling. You see, there are some temporal consequences. But that doesn't negate mercy and forgiveness. Now, the converted adulterer is not free to marry another or continue an adulterous marriage. Just like the one you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 7:11, you finally said they couldn't stay in that second marriage. And so you see, they couldn't stay in that second marriage even when forgiven. And so forgiveness does not remove some temporal consequences and the constraint of law. We can see that tonight. Then his 14 is number 14. Moses' law, he said, allows divorce for any cause. Now that makes Brother Freeman not only too liberal for Christ, but too liberal for Moses. Moses said in Deuteronomy 24, for a matter of filthy conduct, indecency, uncleanness, not for anything and everything. That's all right, we'll let it pass. Now his number 17 had two parts. It says, oh, I'm demanding the impossible of people. And he talked about what you can't know, and you can't know this, and you can't know that, about all these detailed situations. Now, my friend, Jesus said you can know some things. Jesus said you can know when fornication is involved. Jesus said you can know when fornication is involved and put away your mate and know you're doing the scriptural thing and the right thing, or else his law means nothing. Jesus said, except it be for fornication. That means you can know something about that, Brother Freeman. Oh, but Brother Freeman said, you can't really know whether there is or is not fornication and what all the circumstances are. You're just throwing a cloud of doubt over what Jesus said. He said you could know some things. Now, my friend, if for some reason you don't know and can't know, then don't act and risk your soul. Think about that. Don't risk your soul in a doubtful matter. Now, let's look at his number 6. Believer married to the unbeliever. And then that had two parts here, dealing with 1 Corinthians 7, which we've covered in detail. And then he had 47 and 48 with that, all of these dealing with 1 Corinthians 7. I'm just wanting you to see that I have covered that material. It wasn't my responsibility to follow him like that. But I have covered that material last night and again this night, tonight as well. Now I want us to notice charts 175 and 176. Notice on 175, the misuse of 1 Corinthians 7:15. Brethren, I want you to realize there are not 0.1% of the cases of marriage and divorce that we have to face in the world today that come under the matter of the believer deserted by an unbeliever. You might hunt and finally find a case, but that's not what's destroying homes, and that's not what divides the churches. And what you need to realize is, though that argument does become an entrance wedge to increased looseness on divorce and remarriage, as the historians have shown, this later claim of liberty to contract a new marriage had wide effects, and it led to the idea of remarriage in any case of malicious desertion, with the result of increased looseness and shocking facility of divorce. And my, we have it, and the historian pointed out, it flowed from this source. What source? The argument this man is making on 1 Corinthians 7:15. When people departed from New Testament teaching and the New Testament standard, it opened the floodgates for the disasters that we have right now with regard to the home. You talk about mercy. Where is your sense of mercy for preserving homes and marriages according to God's will instead of opening the door to all of this? 176. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia article said, if you use 1 Corinthians 7:15 as the right to remarry, the floodgates are open, and it again is a historical survey showing what happened. Here's the progression that did happen and got us to where we are. If your husband deserts you, you may have another. If he is cruel, you may have another. Now those are the cases we're facing. If he fails to support you, you may have another. We face things like that. If he's drunken, you may have another. If he is incompatible or makes you unhappy, you may have another. And yet others beyond these. And on and on and on, and no end to it. And so we have divorcing for any cause and every cause. But where did it start? Historically, the departure, the driving wedge, the opening of the floodgate was his argument on 1 Corinthians 7:15. And the result is you have careless marriages, divorces for any and every cause, multiplied miseries, broken homes, broken hearts, children that are suffering because of a doctrine that loosens the restraints and loosens the constraints of the Word of God. 75. Chart 37. I want you to remember there is ground for unity in the Word of God, my friend. Unity in truth. We unite on immersion, but we divide on sprinkling. And we can unite that the innocent can put away the fornicator and remarry. The reason we can unite on that is the Bible tells me so in words I can't mistake or misunderstand. But when you argue that others can remarry, as he has done from 1 Corinthians 7 and other cases, you open the floodgates, and there is no stopping place. And no wonder we're in the shape we're in with regard to homes and morality today. We've got to go back to the Bible, back to the truth, and be united as the people of God on that truth. And we can do it. We can do it. And I thank you for your good attention.